The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Have you ever heard the statement, we should never hate anyone or anything? Do you believe the statement is true? Is the statement true? Is the statement true biblically? Well, since I've asked what I consider to be a thought-provoking question in the way that I did, some of you may want to reevaluate your original answer. Brethren, we have to come to understand hate. And we have to learn to hate the right things in the right way. In other words, what does God hate? We're not going to do a word study of this, but it might be something that you want to consider taking the time in doing. It's mind-opening if you've never done this before, but you may want to do such a thing. There are several Old Testament words that are used for the word hate or hateful or hatred and those kinds of things. Then over in the New Testament, looking at Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, that's an actual book, it shows that hate is used in three primary ways. And pretty much that's what we're going to focus on, is using these three ways, or you may want to call it definitions. It's not really definitions, it's more usage. And we find it in the New Testament, even though there are some parallels with the Old. And he lists them out, and the first one is malicious, which is also just simply another word for hateful. Malicious or hateful, and unjustifiable feelings toward others. And this others, I'm going on and trying to explain, others could be whether it is to those who are innocent, or it could be a mutual animosity toward even a group of people who may or may not be guilty. But it is having this malicious and unjustifiable feeling toward others. I'd like you to think about it as simply being a restatement that we find in Scripture, is over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, if you'll go there. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 9 it says, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Now, what this is saying, of course, is someone who claims to be part of the body of Jesus Christ, and he's stating that he is in the light, that's what he's talking about, but he hates his brother, he's still in darkness. Verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So I think that there's a restatement in one way of the original definition or usage that we gave, having a malicious, unjustifiable feeling toward others. The second primary way that we see it is a feeling of aversion for what is evil or towards error, things that are done wrong. And it would be wrong, it would mean from a godly perspective there. And this word aversion could also be substituted for words such as dislike, hatred, or loathing. I have this loathing feeling toward this other person. And then the third way that it is used primarily, this is all according to the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, is the relative preference of one thing over another. You might have heard it stated as love less by comparison. Now, I've heard sermons before where people, you know, use the word, they'll be reading along and they'll see the word hated, and they say, well, actually, this just simply means love less by comparison. After I've done this study, I've gone back and I say, not necessarily so, in some of the occasions where I've heard people use the word. It might not be true, but it is still there. It is a loveless by comparison. It is when words are used or phrases that are used that is used to an extreme to make a point powerful. And that's what this is. The third way there is relative preference of one thing over another. What we need to understand and what we need to know is God hates in these last two ways. It would also do us well to understand that in a similar way in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, hate that is of a malicious category is absolutely condemned. We're going to see several verses that actually show us that to show you the point of what I'm making by this. Let's start in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 20. Numbers 35 and verse 20. But if he thrust him of hatred and hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die. Now, I just read simple the statement. What it is saying is if someone's waiting for somebody, throw something at him with the intent to kill him, or if he, as it says, thrust him because of his hatred toward him, that's condemned. That is an example of a malicious or unjustifiable feeling toward another person. And that's not accepted in Old or New Testament. Another one is in the book of Psalm 109 and verse 5. 109 verse 5. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. That is a scripture that is a malicious category scripture. Another one, and I may do some verses kind of rapid today because we're going to see a lot of verses, and I'm not apologizing up front. I'm just making a statement. And so we may go to some of the scriptures fairly rapid. The next one I'm going to show you is in Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. There's a contrast there. But this word hatred here is of the category of the malicious category. It's condemned. This doing in this way is condemned. Then going to the New Testament, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What Paul is showing us here is some of us have been there. Some of us have done this. We have had malicious, unjustifiable feelings toward others. So I think that we obviously can see that it's part of the human nature. One more scripture here, and that is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That is of this malicious category feeling toward someone else. Please also understand, in the Old Testament, hatred of evil and evildoers when there is no personal malice or hatred that is attached, it is actually admired. So let's go to the Old Testament and let's read some passages here to show this particular point. The first one is in Psalm 97 and verse 10. 97 verse 10. I'll clue you in. We're going to read this passage at least two or three times in the sermon today because it keeps coming up and it says a particular point over and over and over. In Psalm 97 verse 10, you that love the Lord hate evil. You remember what we're looking at? In the Old Testament, hatred of evil and evildoers, when there's no malice attached to it, is actually admired. It is held up. That's the point that we're making. This verse says, if you love the Lord, you will hate evil. And then it goes on and says, God preserves, or he preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Let's go to Psalm 101 and verse 3. 101 and verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's admired. That's held up. That type of attitude, that approach, there's no malice attached to it. It is held up. Psalm 139, we're going to read verses 21 and 22. Psalm 139, verse 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you? This is a psalm of David. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against you? Verse 22. I hate them with perfect hatred. That would mean a godly hatred, hating them the way God would hate them. I count them mine enemies. So does God. When someone hates God, they're his enemy. Then, when it comes to the New Testament, I guess you can already determine that I'm talking about in both, and then I've talked about something from the Old Testament, and now we see an aspect of it from the New Testament. Old Testament was that it was admired, it was held up when there was hatred toward evil and even toward evildoers. Then when it comes to the New Testament, the contrast is it diminishes or it lessens this approach or this attitude when it comes to regards to people. Didn't say toward evil, I said toward people. It kind of lessens it. You may want to say it softens the approach to when it comes to people. And I can show you this also. Matthew chapter 5, words of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is from what we just read over in the Old Testament. Okay? And then in verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So it has been lessened. It diminishes our attitude toward the person, not so much toward the act. I'm going to show you one more place, kind of show this, and I think you'll even get it even more so. It's in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, beginning in verse 17. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We don't condone the evil, whereas in the contrast, as I said, Old Testament, it was admired and held up when there was hatred, right type of hatred, not malice connected to it, of both the evil event and also the evildoer. New Testament, not so much toward the evildoer. However, having said that, at the same time, the New Testament actually increases the hatred of evil. Let's go to Jude. There's only one chapter, so Jude 1, verse 23. Jude 1, 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. that hatred toward evil is even increased. Revelation 2 and verse 6, another scriptural example. Revelation 2, verse 6. But this you have done, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Some biblical writers have made statements somewhat along the lines, I'm paraphrasing it, since God is love, God cannot and does not hate. Brother, we need to understand, while it is true that God is loved, it is also true that God does hate. And it is also good for us to understand that it is not contrary to his nature. Now, that's something that people have to really study, to really grasp, to really understand. But it is true. But as I stated earlier, we need to understand hate. We need to learn to hate the right things in the right way. In other words, what does God hate? Well, let's see some things that God hates. And all the time we need to be asking ourselves, do I hate these things? Do I have a hatred toward these things? God does. Do I? And the second question we might ask is, should I? And the answer is, yes. So let's see some things. The first one is God hates false religious practices. I'm not showing these in any particular order. It just happens the way that I have them. He hates false religious practices. They're not his, and he shows that he hates it. He doesn't like it at all. He doesn't like it a little bit. Let's go to Amos chapter 5 and verse 21. Amos 5, verse 21. I hate, I despise your feast days. Didn't say his feast days. He says your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. This word, the joining of these two verbs here, I hate and I despise, when they're joined together without a conjunction, in other words, I hate and I despise, when there's no conjunction there, what we're actually seeing, the sense of the Hebrew here is it is actually expressing God's strong hatred toward it. I hate, I despise, strong hatred toward whatever's going to follow after that, and it is, and here it is, your feast days. Okay, the second one that God hates is hypocrisy and lies. Hypocrisies and lies. Zechariah 8, verse 17. Zechariah 8, 17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. This is hypocrisies and lies. There are other verses, but this one I think is a really good verse whenever you think about it. He said, these are things that I hate. The next one, I have them numbered, this would be number three, is wrongdoing. Just simply wrongdoing, things that are wrong. Isaiah 61 in verse 8, Isaiah 61 verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment or justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And this phrase, I hate robbery for burnt offering, the actual sense of it from the Hebrew is the spoil of iniquity. I hate the spoil of iniquity, what comes as a result of it. That's what it's talking about. And so it says robbery. Well, what any use the word here, wrongdoing? What any say robbery? It's not a better phrase. It's not a better word. It is any kind of wrongdoing. Anything that comes about as a result of iniquity, that's what it's talking about. And it goes on and says, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. The next one is divorce. Malachi 2:16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away. Our word for that is divorce. For one covers violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Now, in the same context, the next one, number 5, is the word violence, and it's right in this same verse. It's in this very same verse, where it says, for one covers violence with his garments. It is the act of doing anything that is contrary to what, you know, we'll put in quotes, the laws of marriage. And that's a whole heap of things. And God says, I hate the putting away, and I hate all the violence that is connected with it. In other words, all the things that are contrary to it being right. Now, could we actually spend time on every one of these? Yeah, we could. We could give sermons on each one of them. But we're not going to. Number 6, idolatrous practices. Now, if you were doing this, you may come up with other terms in here, but you know, I think you'll see sometimes the words that I'm using. Idolatrous practices. Let's go to Hosea 9 and verse 15. Hosea 9, verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the nation of Israel. Not Judah here. He's separating. He's talking about Israel. For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revilers. Like I said, he is speaking about the house of Israel. And he's telling them, you're going to drive them out. It's going to take them away. Because of the things that they have done there and what he has done there, what they have done there of all of these idolatrous practices, whatever they are, this is what he's saying. For I hated them. The them is not necessarily of and by itself the people. It is what they did, their practices that they did there. All their wickedness, there I hated them, their wickedness, their idolatrous practices. That's where I'm using that term. The next one is mistreatment of the prophets. I mean, you know, we can say, I could ask a question, and I said, do you think that, you know, that the prophets were mistreated? Yeah. What do you think God thought? Well, he didn't like it. Actually, it's a little stronger than that. He actually hated it. That's what he says. Jeremiah 44 and verse 4. 44 verse 4. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, says, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. You've got to read the whole context. I'm just reading the verse, but it's talking about the things that they did to the prophets. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, and we'll see one of the parables. If I would have asked you, do you think there's any of the parables dealing with how God hated the way that they did with the prophets? You might say, well, you're asking the question, probably so. But would you have known this is one of those parables? It's interesting. It's interesting. Matthew 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a vine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. Now, all of these things that he's saying, you know, somebody who owned the property, all of these things, he planted a vineyard, he hedged it round about, digged a wine press. Some translations actually says a well. In other words, to keep it flourished. And also a tower. All of these things are to protect it. All of these things are, he did all of these things to protect what he was doing. And then he says, and he lent it out, let others take care of it. Verse 34. And when the time of the harvest drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. He's talking about the prophets. The treatment of the prophets. Verse 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Now, when you couple this together, with the verses that I read, this one verse that I read in Jeremiah 44 and verse 4, and he says, you did all these horrible things to the servants, my prophets. Jesus is reiterating, you did all these horrible things to the prophets. And we've already seen, he hates it. He hates it. The next one is idolatry. Now, I already showed you idolatrous practices, but you're going to see that there's other things to it. Here, in going back again in Jeremiah 44, this time we're going to read verses 2 through 5. Jeremiah 44, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwells therein because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, you, or your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, lo, do not this abominable thing that I hate, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Idolatry. This is specific to it. Other was this idolatrous practices. And this is very specific here. What he's showing is they went after other gods. They went after other things in the place of God. The point being is we also are to hate idolatry also. Colossians 3:5. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, it is anything that we put before God. Anything. It's idolatry, and God hates it. And we are to hate it also. Which we should conclude is, oh, God doesn't want us to put anything before him or in his place. Yeah, that's right. We're not supposed to do that. God hates that. Okay, the next one, if you're numbering, this is to me, this is number 9. The next one is simply 7 things. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. These 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and number 7, he that sows discord among brethren. Now, I'm not going to show a hands, but you search your heart. Have you done any of these things? Have I done any of these things? Have we done any of these things? Probably. God, it says, hates them. Number 10, God hated Esau. Romans 9 and verse 13, Romans 9. And verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I've heard some people say, this means love less by comparison. No, it doesn't. It's not what the word Hebrew word means. It's not what it means. It means the ways that he was going to be remembered. We just recently covered a sermon on this by doing the book of Obadiah. And he says, you know, the mom, when she's pregnant with twins, it comes to the Lord and says, what's going on? Have I caused anything? And he says, no, what you've got is, you've got twins. You've got two nations warring against each other, and they're two different kinds of people. He knew what the end was going to be, and he's saying here, because when God actually stated these words, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, they were still in the womb. They were not even born yet, because he knew what it was going to be. And it's not loveless by comparison. That is not what this word means. Because it is a quoting of the Old Testament. The Old Testament does not necessarily have that phrase, loveless by comparison. And he's quoting from Malachi 1, verses 2 to 5. Malachi 1, verses 2 through 5. Okay, the next one is every false way. God hates every false way. Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Every one of us has to ask ourselves the question, could I write this down in a book and present it to God? That I hate every false way. There is in our society today, and it's probably been there for a long time, an attitude like, I believe that one way is as good as another. In other words, there is not enough of hating every false way. And what we need to understand is what we believe does make a difference. Do we believe the statement to be true, yes or no? Is it true in our lives, yes or no? What we believe does make a difference. I want to show you. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, to put it another way, those who are not against all the false ways are not really for the truth. So it does make a difference what we believe. You probably all heard the old saying, different ways of doing it. But one way is, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. The point being is, we are to take a stand. And the stand is for the truth, whatever it is. Whatever the truth is. Let's go on. The next thing, these are things that God hates. And I've already said, and we are to hate them also. If you're numbering, this would be, my number is number 12. We are to learn to hate evil, others and ours. Here it comes the second time. Psalm 97, verse 10. The first part. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Now, why would we believe that statement to be true? Why would we hold to this? Why would we be willing to stand up for this particular truth? And the reason is because every sin is against God. And we would want to stand against every evil, because all sins, all evils are ultimately against God. Psalm 51 and verse 4, the A part of the verse. Psalm 51 verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. This is when David committed adultery. The woman becomes pregnant. He has her husband killed. And God calls this matter of Uriah the Hittite, because of that evil act, the ultimate thing that was down the line. It happened as a result. And here it is, all these people, as a result, was all kinds of bad things happened. They got pregnant, they had the child died. And David says, against you, you only have I sinned. So from this, it's very, very strong that we understand that we are to learn to hate evil, others and ours, because all sins, all evils, ultimately are against God. And we have to stand against all evils that are against God. And that's any sin. Because God hates them all. But why do you think it is that so many people do not hate evil. They've even asked a question. Do you hate all evil or just some evils? David makes a statement over in the book of Psalms, in 119 and verse 128. He says, I consider all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So you're right, whatever it is. You could say, well, I don't know all the false ways, and so I don't know whether I hate them. David didn't say he understood them all. He just said, whatever they are, I hate them. And we have to come to the place we hate all evil ways because it's against God. Why are there some people who simply do not hate evil? Simply because they don't love God. Psalm 97, verse 10. You that love the Lord hate evil. If we don't hate all evil, we got to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, do I really love God? As true believers, we need to come to the place that we mirror God's attitude toward evil. For example, I'll give you some illustrations from the scriptures. One is, we are to hate evildoers. You're going to say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, yeah, okay, but the principle is there. We'll see it. Let's go there. Psalm 26 and verse 5. Psalm 26 and verse 5. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And I've already showed you. Now it is lessened toward the person, but our hatred toward the act is even, New Testament, is intensified. So yes, we're to hate everything that evildoers do. Well, do we? Or do we just simply put up with some of it? Well, it doesn't have any effect on me, therefore. There is no therefore. The second one is, we are to hate idolaters. Psalm 31 and verse 6. 31 verse 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. In other words, we are to detest all who respect or worship objects of idolatry. That's the actual meaning of the Hebrew words. The King James Version is not a good translation. Neither is the New King James. Because it puts it in the way of, I hated them with regard to lying vanities. What that is actually saying, the sense of the Hebrew words here is detest, hatred to all of those who have respect, who have worship, objects of idolatry, which is really the sense of the word. And that's a huge topic as to what that could be, all that that could be. Another one, a third one would be, we're to hate the false way. We've already seen that, but God hates every false way. We're to hate every false way. It's a repeat of Psalm 119, verse 104. We gave that earlier. A next thing that examples of how we're to do this is we are to hate falsehood, or to put it in more modern terms, lying. Ours and others. Psalm 119, verse 163. Psalm 119 and verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. God is not a man, he cannot lie. So there's no word of God. There's nothing that he's going to say that we would ever come to the place that we would hate. Words of man, we might. In fact, it says, here it is, the admonition. I hate and abhor lying. We're to do the same. The next one. We are to hate anything that is evil. We could summarize it in just that one statement, because it would include anything. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then he gives some illustrations. He's not saying this is all that there is. This is not all the evil there is. He's simply giving here, Solomon is simply giving here a list of some of them so we'd understand what he's talking about. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So I guess we need to come to the place that we ask ourselves, where are we in all of this? And of course, brethren, there is obviously a lot more to this particular topic that we've not even covered here today. And I know that, and I understand that. With intent, I'm not covering a lot more of it. For example, we're not even getting into the aspect of having the third category. Remember, having a relative preference of one thing over another or love less by comparison. We haven't even really gotten into that. Not really. Not even really giving examples. Quickly, let me show something in regards to that. We know that we are not to serve two masters. If there is a choice, and there's always choices, to do it right or to do it wrong. We always have those choices. But if there is a choice between pleasing God and pleasing, say, family, we are to hate the family. I'm using the term. This is the third category. I'm not explaining it. I'm just making it as a statement. Here's what we mean. We are to prefer, we are to choose God's will over the family's will. If there is a conflict, if there is a rub, if there is an obvious God's will and the family's will, which one is biblical? Well, both of them are. But one of them is God's way and the other one shows us man's ways. We're also to hate, love less by comparison, our own life. Luke 14, verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father or mother or wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. You thought I just made this up and I was being cruel. No, this is what the Bible says. And again, I'm just using the illustration. I'm not talking about yet in this sermon how to do all of this. This is not part of the sermon. Here's the point. We are to choose pleasing God to living. John 12:25. He that loves his own life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. There is this thing of a comparison. This preference of one thing over another thing. New Testament uses these extremes like this. I guess you could say it's a shock value to us, is to put it in a way that really wakes us up and gets our attention. What do you mean I'm supposed to hate my wife? I'm supposed to hate my children. I'm supposed to hate my parents. It's a love less by comparison. When you compare one thing with another thing, one thing has to always come out on top. And that one thing always has to be God. If there is a choice between life and serving God, we are to hate life. And yes, I absolutely do realize that the consequences of this are huge. So is a total explanation of all of this. And that could be even a time of another whole sermon at a later time. Having said this, however, we need to ask ourselves, what do we choose? What do we put first? I think from all that we have seen in this topic today, I believe that it is safe to state when someone chooses to put God second, he hates God. He loves God less by comparison. And that's always wrong. So I think we need to ask ourselves, with this knowledge before us, is this the choice any of us are choosing to make? God must be first and foremost in our lives. So, brethren, please understand, when rightly understood, this topic of hate is really about our choices about God. The Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.